What's going on, everybody? This is Patriot Underground here. Now, before we begin the show tonight, I just want to say a quick word on behalf of my partners over at PatriotUndergroundGold.com. Now, if you haven't already heard by now, major stock market sell-offs have been happening very recently. It was actually reported at the end of Q4 2023 that Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and Bill Gates combined to sell off $11 billion worth of shares in companies that they have had very substantial positions in, including their own. Bill Gates in particular actually dumped 65% of his portfolio. So obviously, folks, this is preparation for what we know is coming. We've been talking about this for a very long time, a black swan event. You've heard more and more mainstream type figures talk about a black swan event, most recently Katherine Herridge. We know that this is coming. The bottom line is that this news is a barometer of a major economic downturn, bare minimum. So if you have money that's tied up in the stock market, you have a 401k or an IRA, and you haven't diversified or shifted all of your assets out of the fiat debt prison and into precious metals, luckily you still have an opportunity to do so. But I would caution folks that that window is very rapidly closing, because as conditions deteriorate, the demand for gold and silver is going to continue to surge. And even though I'm not a financial advisor, I can read the tea leaves and I can see what's happening. All of us can see what's happening. The direction that the whole world is headed is toward asset-backed currencies. And in the case of the United States, gold and silver specifically. And so if you purchase now, while these precious metals are still being suppressed, you're going to put yourself in a very good position to be able to capitalize on the transition into the new economy, into the quantum financial system, as Nasara and Jassara are rolled out. So I would highly urge people to act now while you still have the opportunity to get in at a very good price and be able to have that peace of mind and knowing that no matter what happens in the stock market, your money is going to be safe and secure in precious metals. And very likely, you're going to capitalize, like I said, on this transition. So click the link below. If this applies to you, don't waste any time, folks. I'm telling you. This is coming, and it's coming fast. PatriotUndergroundGold.com. My partners are absolutely incredible. They're going to work as quickly as you do to bring you the peace of mind that you so richly deserve as we head into this chaotic storm and we experience this financial transition. PatriotUndergroundGold.com. All right, folks. Thank you so much for listening. God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is March 23rd, 2024. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. As always, I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. And as you folks can see, I have my good friend Brad Olson joining me again. It's been a long time since Brad and I sat down. As a matter of fact, I think it was our last conversation was my first video actually turning the camera on, if I remember correctly.
It was.
Yeah. So it's been a little while, and I've been anxious to get in touch with Brad. He's a really busy guy. But for those people out there, he's very well acquainted with this audience. But fortunately, the audience continues to grow. So for those people out there who have not seen or heard from Brad Olson, I'll just kind of provide a brief overview. He's an amazing guy. He's an author. He's a publisher. He's a world traveler. He's been to places that most of us only read about, and he comes back and he writes incredible, incredible books. His most recent one is Beyond Esoteric, which I always tell my audience, urge everybody out there to pick up a copy. Brad will sign it for you. I have my signed copy, and it's really just an incredible work. I know he's also working on another book as well. I don't know if Brad can, you'll talk about that, but anyway, he's an amazing guy and a good friend of mine. So I'm really happy to have him back on the show. Brad, welcome.
Hey, Patriot. Always great to be back. And thanks for having me on. And great to see your smiling face again. See
you thanks, brother. You're
making this a trend, showing up on your videos. That's great.
Yeah, well, you know, it was something that happened. And it just so happened that you were the first interview I had after I made that decision. And like I said at the time, it felt right. So tell us, you know, what have you been up to? I know you've been, you know, you're always traveling, doing conferences and speeches and researching and working on books. So kind of just, you know, what have you been up to since the last time we spoke? Why don't we start there?
Sure. Well, conference season began in February. So I spoke at the Conscious Life Expo in LA. And then just 2 weeks ago, I was down in Sedona, Arizona for the Sedona Ascension Retreat. great big 700 person theater there called the Performance Art Theater, and my good friend Suzanne Ross puts that on, and extended that into a family ski trip where I'm at now in Colorado, and then taken off to Utah to do a buddy ski trip, and then back to flying out of Vegas early April for the eclipse. I'm speaking at a conference in Bostock, Texas. Team Light is putting that on, and it's music and speakers. And we're going to talk about the eclipse later and all the weird stuff happening with that.
For sure,
But
yeah.
then I got right after that a back-to-back another conference in Los Angeles, the Alien Event and Biomed Expo. And then just real quickly, I do the How Weird Street Fair. I'm a co-producer on that in San Francisco, May 4th. May the 4th be with you, Patriot. And then Journey to Truth in middle May, and then I've got several more in June, including the Disclosure Fest, also in LA, and Mount Shasta Summer Conference. And I'm speaking at the big MUFON Symposium. Great honor to be asked to speak there about Antarctica. And as you know, I've been to all seven continents, including Antarctica, 5 years ago. And I've kind of, well, because I went down there, I was the real first explorer to go down there to look into these big questions. Is there a civilization under the ice? Is there these giant UFOs? Supposedly there's three motherships called Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria, named by our intelligence agencies way back in the 70s. They've known about these. Looking into this stuff, not finding what I went to find, but finding other stuff. Anyways, I talk about this so much at conferences and interviews. I have a venture capital company called VC Cross, who's now in the process of raising funds. And we created a big 17-page deck, a couple videos, and we're proposing this to different people in the film industry and also investors to do a documentary film about all these sites in Antarctica, because I know where to go, Patriot, and if we had the funding, we could do it. But there's certain roadblocks to Antarctica, and in order for this film to take place, there might have to be a disclosure beforehand to get access to some of these locations. So we're getting all our ducks in a row, and that's what you need to do, because if something breaks, and then all of a sudden the investor class is, oh yeah, we're all over this, we want to do it, boom, I'm down there next season and creating a movie-length documentary.
Yeah. Wow.
Some of these documentaries, like March of the Penguins, one of the most successful documentaries of all time about the penguins in Antarctica, and it grossed 10 to 1 for the investors. So documentaries are successful investment opportunities. So
Absolutely.
that's what I've been up to.
Well, I wasn't joking then, I guess, when I or understating it, or overstating it rather, when I said you're a busy guy, because you started giving me your schedule and I'm like, wow, my head is spinning just listening to this. But you're that's I guess that's what you're used to. That's your wheelhouse. Since you brought up Antarctica, why don't we talk about that just a little bit? And for folks who have heard our previous conversation, some of this information you may know, but you went down there and you said it was 5 years ago, and you said that in your own words, basically, you were kind of looking for evidence of all of these things that we've been hearing about, like the secret space program, the motherships under the ice, entire civilization under the ice. And but you also just said something very interesting about the roadblocks that you ran into. So could you maybe just, give us a taste for what you did run into when you were there, what you were looking for, and I mean, ultimately, how you were blocked, I guess you could say, for lack of a better word, or the lack of access? Because you're absolutely right. I mean, people go to Antarctica, not many, but people can go, and you've described your trip many times, but what were some of the roadblocks or areas that you couldn't access, and what are you hoping will change in the near future?
And at the Sedona conference, not only did Melissa Tittle, who is a very popular producer, sign on to do this film, and she's now working with Prometheus Entertainment, who produces Ancient Aliens, but Linda Moulton Howe, who has these incredible whistleblowers come to her including a gentleman named Brian S., who she said he would likely get involved too. So working with them on actually finding these locations, because I won't kid you, it's a needle in a haystack situation when you're talking about the fifth largest continent in the world, trying to find a semi-submerged UFO under the ice. You
I can imagine.
need to go exactly where you need to go. And then other places like the giant hole under the ice, about 15 miles away from the South Pole, which was originally discovered by Admiral Byrd when he was an aviator flying over it in 1929, the first pilot to fly over the South Pole. Surely he saw the hole in the ice, because back in then 46, right before the Battle of High Jump, during Operation High Jump, he was summoned to go back, and he wrote about it in his diary and flew into the hole. And I'm putting all this together also in a new book called Esoteric Antarctica and another conference presentation. So to be coming, yeah, a lot of stuff on my plate. So what I'll tell you is there are no fly zones there, and we would not be able to fly over this area if we went to South Pole. And there are secrets there. But where I went, it's kind of like the tourist corridor. That's the northern tip of the Palmer Peninsula. See where the South America comes down and the Palmer Peninsula goes up. That's the shortest connection to any continental landmass. And it's about where 90% of all the boat traffic goes. So the cruise ships are in there, other sailboats like I was on were going through there. And I don't think there's anything in these hidden subjects that could be found around there. And certainly I asked every single research station we went to, I asked the same questions. Do you know anything about UFOs under the ice, pyramids poking through, antediluvian civilization, secret space program, secret bases, this and that? Routinely, the answer was no. And it's not to say that they were hiding from me. I just don't think they knew. And because people are very compartmentalized, people go down there, if they're working in the research stations, they have special jobs to do. They're either studying the ice fish, and that's all they do, or they're studying penguin movement, or they're studying the rising and falling of the ice. And in my presentation, I do show a map that came out right before I went down there that shows parts of Antarctica are definitely melting, but parts are also freezing over and getting colder. So it never really affects the equilibrium of the ocean. Because as we know, all the oceans are connected one way or another, especially in the Southern Ocean. All oceans connect except for the Arctic Ocean. So if water was, let's say the ice caps were to break up and overflow the glass, put ice in a filled glass and it'll overflow, it would affect all the coastal communities of the world. That has not happened. So Mother Nature, in her infinite wisdom, keeps the ice intact in Antarctica, at least for the time being. So the areas that you're not allowed to go, Patriot, it's pretty much these no-fly zones and then some other regions. But Linda Moulton Howe told me something really important. She said that all her whistleblowers had some kind of contract with the National Science Foundation. And that's who pays all the bills down there for all the American bases. So, and you can get a job, talk to a seasonal job in Antarctica, talk to a recruiter. They would get you trained, whatever your specialty is. If you get hired, your paychecks come from the National Science Foundation. So, in fact, when we were trying to get access to come ashore to go to the Palmer base, I'm on the shortwave radio with the station chief, and I said, "Look, we're three American taxpayers, and indirectly, we're paying your guys' bills through the NSF." And that got us invited to come ashore and tour the Palmer facility, which normally they deny access to sailboat tour groups or cruise ships. And it was very cool. It was a very enlightening tour of what they're doing at the Palmer base.
Cool. That's awesome. So, I mean, there's definitely the no fly zones, but you went down there by boat primarily, right? You had Okay, so I'm assuming that there's no boat zones or no float zones or something along those lines. I mean, did you run into any of that when you were there? Or
No.
no?
And here's the thing, it is so wide open and you rarely see any other ship for days at a time. Who's there to enforce it? And we had a dinghy on our boat, like a Zodiac raft that we had a small crane that could drop it in. So when we wanted to go ashore to see a penguin colony or to watch the whales or even to go to the side of a glacier to chip off some blue ice for our
Yeah,
drinks,
I know we talked
we could
about
just
that.
do it. There's no one supervising us.
Yeah.
So that's kind of another misconception, is that parts of it are sealed off and closed. There's no one there to tell you that you can't go to certain places, because you can.
So you just have to know where to go is
Right.
essentially. Now you
And
okay, go
well,
ahead.
but here's another weird little thing that happened when we left Argentina. We did have to go talk to the Argentinian Navy and submit an itinerary. The captain knew approximately where we wanted to go and submitted a plan. We all had to give him copies of our passport. And then we went to the cruise ship, to the immigration zone, and got stamped out of Argentina. So we were stamped in when we came in to that part of Tierra del Fuego, stamped out of Argentina, but did not get stamped in anywhere else for the 26-day duration of the trip till we got back to Argentina, and then it stamped back in. So
Interesting.
that's kind of weird. For 26 days, we're kind of in no man's land.
Yeah, that is interesting. And it's also very interesting that you went through Argentina, and you and I have had extensive conversations before about the Argentinian connection to the Nazis after World War II, and obviously the Nazi connection to Antarctica as a whole, really, because we've talked about the base New Schwabenland. Now, is that's in the no-fly zone type area as well, right?
Well, I
Or do you
don't know if it's a no-fly zone because there are bases there, especially from other countries. It's in the part of Antarctica that's directly below South Africa. So it is quite a distance away from the Palmer Peninsula and South America. So if we, and that's definitely on my itinerary as a place to go, because I know where the base 211 was located, in an area called the Schumacher Hills, which is near the Schumacher Ponds, these lakes that never freeze because of the geothermal activity. And that's where the crew was let off on the pilot Schumacher, who landed a seaplane in the pond, and the crew left for about a week, and they discovered the location where they were going to put the base. So I'd kind of like to recreate that for the documentary film and see if we
that'd be
can,
fascinating.
yeah, and see if we can find any out building relics from Nazi Germany, and most importantly, to bring Geiger counters, because if we were to detect that that area got hit by nukes during Operation Argus, which is still a top secret nuclear bomb test, read about it in a Wikipedia, and it happened in the Southern Ocean. Ostensibly, the cover story was they had to blow off nukes in the upper atmosphere to release all the ozone and pollution. That's just a stupid cover story. I think it was in retaliation for the absolute rout of Battle of High Jump, that we just got our ass handed to us, and that's why Byrd left 2 months into the 6 month expedition.
Yeah, and isn't it fascinating that we're still seeing the elites and the quote unquote elites going down to Antarctica? I mean, at this point in time, it's kind of like on everybody's radar, and it almost makes me wonder if that our attention's being drawn specifically to Antarctica for a reason, perhaps because some major disclosure is coming. You have any thoughts on that? I mean, because I guess it kind of ties into what you were saying about, doing your documentary in order to really kind of get the green light.
Right, and I've heard many times, and it could come to pass as true, that disclosure could come out of Antarctica. Because look, one of these three motherships, that would be a total game changer. That would prove that we've had contact on this planet, that there here's the physical evidence, just being able to see one of those. The hole under the ice, where Brian S. said there's a road that corkscrews around. And this is all under the control of the NSA. No Such Agency was their nickname till 1980s when they finally admitted they existed. Well, they were set up in the late 1940s specifically to handle anything extraterrestrial related. So crash retrievals, even ET bodies, living or dead, as well as creating a perimeter around locations that were very sensitive, including the hole in the ice. And there they pop up all the time at the South Pole Amundsen Scott Station, and they have an unmarked building in the McMurdo base, the largest base in Antarctica, which is run by the Americans. So there's definitely an NSA presence down there. What are they doing down there unless they've got something to handle?
I agree, absolutely. But my gut is telling me that for such a long time, Antarctica really hasn't even been talked about. It's it's only been something like esoteric type conversations, like the one we're having. But it's becoming more and more, I don't want to say mainstream, but it's certainly seeping more and more into the consciousness of the public that there's something down there. And it's amazing to me too is that we get on the subject of extraterrestrials or non-terrestrials. There's just so much evidence to show that this is a reality, and yet so many folks still don't want to believe it. What do you, because I'm sure you deal with that constantly, right? That people are still questioning, I imagine, because you're kind of at the center of doing all this research. I mean, how do you typically respond to folks who just don't want to believe in any of this stuff? Or I mean, do you think it's kind of, I mean, what do you think the reasons are? Is it religious, in nature, or what do you think?
Well, that's the nature of the word esoteric too, and that's why I name my book series the Esoteric Series, because it's really information that only a select few are privy to. Actually, what happens when everybody starts to understand something, the word changes to exoteric. So in UFO studies and even lost civilization, including the megaliths and even giants, this stuff is relegated to esoteric sciences that you really have to want to understand it to get involved in it and be either an archaeologist or researcher. Going to these locations is what I do, and really digging deep and finding, hey, there's a bigger story here. Now, as far as everybody else getting involved, well, look, a lot of people are really influenced by the mass media. And they're not touching this stuff. If they did, it would become exoteric. So, until disclosure becomes really mainstream, Patriot, I think it's just going to have to remain in the realm of the esoteric.
Well, part of the reason I'm wondering too is because we've seen the mainstream media, and I think they have their own reasons for doing it, but we've seen them drum up this whole, alien invasion. This is becoming something that, and that I don't think you can really separate for anyone who's really done any research at all. You can't really separate the question of extraterrestrials or non-terrestrials, whatever you want to call them, or aliens, whatever your persuasion is, from Antarctica and what's being hidden in Antarctica. So there's a direct linkage there. And so I think it's pretty amazing that and we've seen all of, I mean, I never got your reaction, but I'm sure you saw the Project Bluebeam type of projections that they had down in Miami at the mall and all that stuff. You saw that. What was your reaction to that? I thought of you when I first saw it. I was like, I wonder what Brad's take on this is.
Yeah, maybe a dry run for what's coming up on the eclipse, because there are some indication that we're going to see more than just the sun being blotted out by the moon for 4 or 5 minutes. That at that period of time, you could have, well, first of all, millions of people's eyes are trained to the sky, and it's going to go dark. There's also a comet coming in called the it's so silly, but it's bears worth repeating. That this other comet is coming in that's called the Devil's Comet. And
Devil's Comet. I hadn't heard that one.
yeah, and it's going to be visible. So the last time it's called Comet Pons-Brooks, got the nickname Devil's Comet because it passed through in 1954. That was in the age of when every kid was reading Marvel Comics, and it was the comet that gave Superman his powers
Oh,
was the
yeah.
saying in the time. And then it's going to come back. It's going to be at its closest to the sun on April 21st, but that's just 2 weeks after the April 8th total solar eclipse that will cross North America. And now that it's going to be near the sun during totality, so it's quite likely that it'll be bright enough to be picked up with binoculars or seen with the naked eye when the sky goes dark that day. So it's just another one of these weird things about April 8th, this Devil's Comet, first time it's going to pass Earth in 71 years. And
Just a
NASA
number.
even says that it may be visible during the solar eclipse. So a lot of other weird stuff regarding this
Well,
this
yeah. Do you want to dive into it since we kind of segued into the topic? I know you had talked about we have been communicating a little bit behind the scenes. You talked about a lot of these anomalies, these strange coincidences. I think we've kind of scratched the surface here a little. I mean, I certainly think something. They're preparing the narrative for something really, really big. You even got the FAA coming out and saying that I think they said like the 7th through the 10th, there could be massive chaos at airports. There could be disruptions in air travel. And given everyone's expectation that we're going to be facing some sort of a major event, this seems pretty consistent with that. But then again, there's also that part of me that's always skeptical when something is getting drummed up and getting a lot of attention. There's always that part of me that goes, yeah, okay. Well, we know that this eclipse is going to happen, but are they kind of like training everyone to look in one direction so that they're not looking somewhere else? That's kind of become ingrained in me as well. But just in terms of like telegraphing when a major event is actually going to happen, but it certainly seems consistent with how they would prepare the narrative for something like a major shutdown, a major interruption, who knows, an emergency broadcast situation. We don't really know, but it sounds to me like the deeper we get into 2024, we're seeing more and more of these, outages. We're seeing, I mean, on Super Tuesday, we saw massive outages, all of these stories about, blackouts and cyber attacks, and now this. And certainly they've been talking a lot about solar storms and solar flares and everything else. So why don't we talk about that? Just kind of give us I guess you could say an overview of how you see this whole situation, in light of what I kind of just framed there, but also really just in terms of what you wanted to talk about, which was the coincidences, which it's tough to believe in coincidences nowadays and all these anomalies. So go ahead and take it away.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Project Bluebeam. Okay, anytime you hear the word blue in a government project, like Blue Book was the study of everything extraterrestrial, means something to do with extraterrestrial. But in the case of Blue Beam, that's a holographic beam. It's the fake alien invasion, but it could also be the holograms in the sky. So when I was putting this post up a couple days ago on Facebook and went semi-viral, somebody commented, and I said, things aren't going to really be just a 5 minute eclipse. Something else is going to be happening in the sky. Reply was that it would be a great time for the US military to unload their holographic 3D cold plasma technology into the clouds above and put Jesus or the aliens in the skies, throw in a little EMP for effect. And maybe even fly in some highly developed discs loaded with Buck Rogers beam weapons, and we'll have ourselves a real party on April 8th. They have this plan, and another name for Project Bluebeam is Operation Firesign. So this is what could potentially happen, and maybe is what's triggering all these alarms that we're hearing, the National Guard being called out in now four states, Patriot. They're saying, fill up your tanks with gas, have emergency supplies in certain areas. For what? To just go see the solar eclipse? Well, I went out there and all the way to Idaho, met my dad and my uncle, and went out with Ryan Gable, a friend of mine in radio. And we watched a solar eclipse, and it's one of the most benign natural events you could see. Nobody gets hurt. It's just this incredible natural phenomenon. It's not like a tornado or a hurricane or even a volcano where you could get hurt watching it, but not with an eclipse. It's completely harmless. So all these warnings, like for what? What is anticipated to happen that day? So here's just kind of some of those weird coincidences. This upcoming total solar eclipse on April 8th, 2024 is 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days after the last total eclipse over the US in 2017. So
Really?
for gematria people who love the numbers, yeah, four sixes in a row, we've always heard of
Wow.
666. Yeah, but it's true. I had a friend that did the calculations, says exactly right. The
Interesting.
way that the paths from the last eclipse over North America also spells in the Hebrew Alpha and Omega as the Tav. It passes this current one on April 8th, passes over seven US cities and one Canadian city with the name of Nineveh, which means repent in the Bible.
I've heard
So
about
for
this.
religious people, that seems significant. It also passes over seven US cities with the name Salem or Peace, including Salem, Illinois, close to where my dad's going to see it in Illinois. I'm going to be in Texas, in Boskop, Texas. So I hope there's no disruptions because I'm speaking at the Team Light Festival going on there and flying out the next day. So, but all of the major planets right now are in perfect alignment with this 2024 total solar eclipse, along with the Pleiades and this Devil's Comet coming in. So it's going to be a celestial show. And I'll tell you this, Patriot, from the time I saw it in 2017, it's quite remarkable because first you have to wear the glasses to see the moon starting to phase directly over the sun. Then, of course, when it does, when it reaches totality, could take the glasses off, but it changes the whole sky. Of course, it goes night out, and you can see the stars and the moon, and all the animals go quiet. It's quite an eerie phenomenon. But the thing I noticed in 2017, if you're in a position where you can see the horizon in all directions, everything is light at the bottom of the sky. So it's like it's a sunrise all the way around, 360 degrees around. It's light out just on the horizon, but totally dark in the sky. And then you see the halo of the sun around the moon, and that's quite spectacular too. And then, of course, it pops out, and then you'd have to wear the glasses again to continue watching the moon continue to pass. The fact that the moon is exactly positioned to do this, to create these eclipses. And by the way, they happen several times a year, but most eclipses are way out in the middle of the ocean and nobody can see them. This one's very remarkable because it extends from Mazatlan, Mexico, all the way up through northeastern Mexico into Texas, and then right up through the United States, passing through a dozen states, including northern New England, and then into Quebec, Canada province, through northern Maine, and then out through New Brunswick, Canada. So passing through the three major countries of North America, which is quite remarkable too. The other eclipses only went through the US in our last decade. So this one's highly anticipated. And here's another weird one that keeps popping up in my news feeds is that there were newspaper articles all the way back from the 1970s that were saying the next big eclipse, 2024. So this is all pre-knowledge of this event. So if something were to be, say, being set up, this would be the time to do it. Still more stuff too.
Sorry, I was muted there. I was just saying, absolutely, wow, that's amazing. So you got it. There's more stuff as well. There's
Let me
one.
go through it and then
Yeah, go
we'll
ahead.
break it
Hey,
up.
yeah, lay it on. I'm taking notes over here.
Yeah, okay. So here's another really interesting one. Not only with this alignment of the planets, but the X intersection from the 2017 and now the 2024 passes over what is the Great New Madrid fault line, which, by the way, is the most active fault line in North America, even more than the San Andreas Fault in California. There was an earthquake there in the 19th century that was so big it could be felt all the way out to South Carolina. So one concern is if it were to trigger the New Madrid fault line, that this could be a big catastrophe of earthquakes along the Mississippi River Valley. The Chinese spy balloon followed the exact path of the 2017 eclipse, went right in the very same path and went out to the Atlantic Ocean the same way it did. The last total solar eclipse followed the path of the crack across America from Montana to Florida. And so the Cicada locust plague is also centered in that area, starting at the same time. So then there's all these other things that the codes, Old Testament of the Bible, yeah, plagues and yeah, all
Yeah, well,
these.
if you got more, keep going. I mean, you got the
Yeah.
floor here.
Couple
If you
more,
got
and then
sure.
we'll discuss.
Yeah.
So the path of totality this time begins in America in a place called Jonah. And I haven't found that one on the map yet. I've had other people like Ben Chasteen from Edge of Wonder that's also looking into this one. And we do know about the towns of Nineveh. I have looked at that and they are there, represent a total eclipse happening overhead. So Jesus prophesies that the end of days would come with the sign of Jonah. Okay. And it starts in this town called Jonah to a wicked and adulterous generation. Kind of sounds
Wow.
like Hollywood today, doesn't it? And
Sure does.
then so lastly, unlike all the previous total solar eclipses across the US, the National Guard is being deployed across the country, with some of them with hazmat suits to prevent industrial contamination. From what? I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. So all this weirdness coming up around it. Of course, there's going to be massive traffic jams. There was in 2017. If you go to see it somewhere in the country, it's probably best to spend the night where you're at. Otherwise, you're going to be sitting in traffic for many hours. Millions and millions of people are going to witness this, myself included. And it's an amazing thing to see. I highly recommend checking it out. You'll never see anything like it. And once you do, there are what's known as the eclipse chasers, the people that will go around the world to see a full solar eclipse, and many times accompanying with a festival or some kind of party that goes along with it to make it even that much more fun.
Wow. Well, that's incredible. That's just some incredible information. And I think it's very interesting that the last major one was in 2017, because that's arguably really when this kind of this whole process began, when Trump took office, and this whole the Q drop started in 2017. We've been on this crazy journey now for about 7 years, and I heard a lot of sevens in there. I think you said at one point there was like seven US states. Is it
Yep.
seven US states it's going to pass over, and one Canadian? Because I thought I heard you say a dozen at a different. I want
Seven
to be
U.S.
clear.
cities named
Cities.
Nineveh, which
Name
means
Nineveh. Okay, I
repent.
missed that. Wow.
Yeah.
All the, with the same name.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm counting them up here. Let's see. Okay, so in the U.S., of course, it starts in Texas, right around where all the migrants are pouring in.
Yep.
Then goes into a little bit into Oklahoma, but then it goes right on through Arkansas, a little bit of Missouri, then through southern Illinois, southern Indiana, straight through Ohio, and then it's upstate New Pennsylvania and New York. And then Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine, but then a couple provinces in China, as well as several different states in Mexico, too.
Wow. So seven states with the same city name of Nineveh, and then and also one in Canada as well.
Yeah, there's a Nineveh
Seven in
in
the
New
one,
Brunswick.
and there's a lot of gematria going on there. Wow. Wow. And certainly, I mean, we know historically, and I'm sure you could speak on this as well, the connection between major earth changes, or even major cultural changes, going back even to ancient times, have always been directly connected to these major celestial events. And certainly, given where we are right now, and given all of the anomalies, the preparation that's going into this, it seems to me like there's going to be some sort of event. Now, I don't know, and none of us really know what it's actually going to be. Could it just be an eclipse, and then everyone just kind of moves on the next day? Absolutely, it's possible, but there's a lot. I hadn't really heard about that as well, that the Chinese spy balloon went on the exact same path as the 2017 eclipse. And then you also said the part about Jonah and the Jesus prophecy that the end of days would begin. So that's just fascinating information. So well, I mean, I guess the question, Brad, is that for folks out there who are thinking about this and wondering, okay, well, what's this event going to be? Is it just going to be, like I kind of indicated a moment ago, is it just going to be an event that is interesting and fascinating, but it's not going to have any real significance in terms of where we're at in this overall war to take down the cabal? I mean, none of us can really predict it. It's all speculative, but it seems to me like your gut is kind of telling you that this could be something a major focal point, flashpoint, where some event could take place, and it would be the perfect opportunity for certain cards to be played. Is kind of what I'm picking up from you? Is that generally your thought process? I mean, what is your gut telling you?
Well, my gut's telling me that it's usually humans that are doing this kind of skullduggery to get people to fall in line with a certain agenda. And I see that there is what looks like an agenda taking place on an otherwise totally benign natural event. You don't need to have the National Guard called out. You don't have to have hazmat suits or anything else unless they're planning to do something to us. And I did just listen to an interview, a guy, take it with a grain of salt, but he says one of his whistleblowers says that there could be a biological event taking place, that perhaps they're going to even spray the eclipse line, blame it on something, maybe something in the celestial skies. There's no danger whatsoever of an eclipse. But if there was, say, a Project Bluebeam projection, and that is what gets blamed. Look, we know how they're very good at doing the magician trick. Look over here while I pull the rabbit out of my hat over here. What they did on 9/11, right? Nothing is as it should be. Nothing is as they say. And by the way, JFK assassination, 9/11, these are all still this narrative that we're supposed to believe. That it was a lone gunman or 17, 19 hijackers with box cutters. That story has never changed, Patriot. But we all know that both of those are not true. So they will do things to hijack the narrative and create their own narrative, right? And do the old magician's trick and make us think it's something when it's really something else. And that's why I just think, yeah, we should always be vigilant. We should always be prepared. We should always be ready. And out in California, where I lived for a number of years, they say you always got to be prepared for an earthquake. So that's the other thing. Could it trigger the New Madrid fault earthquake? Maybe not from the eclipse, but let's say a HAARP weapon. You can see that there are bad elements in our military. I'd say the Air Force is a captured operation. They're allowing the chemtrailing of this country for decades. They're also responsible for these recent DEW attacks, including the Texas Panhandle, Lubbock, Texas. But always remember the problem, reaction, solution. What do you think they want to get out of it? Well, it happens to be that a large majority of the livestock of Texas lived up in Lubbock, Texas, and now they're dead. They got burned. So Texas lost a huge supply of their beef and other livestock from these fires. And that's not too far away from where this eclipse is passing over too. So if they can also put any kind of any biblical themes into it, like the locusts, the Cicada locusts coming up. And it's not to say that people that believe in the Bible are gullible or anything, but they do know that people follow the Bible and look to signs like this and would be reactive if things like this were to occur. So again, it could be a version of a false flag where they're throwing stuff into the mix here, Patriot, that is some kind of a magician's trick that isn't really what it should be, but they're going to say it's something else.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's really what I've been thinking this entire time, even before you and I had this conversation. And you just hit me with all those data points, which, I mean, some of them I had heard kind of peripherally from some members of my audience who had shared some information with me. But I had no idea. There's just so much synchronicity going on there. So that's, you know, one element of the conversation. But again, like you said, we have to wear that different hat of, you know, the problem, reaction, solution. What are they trying to distract us from? And as you said, it, I mean, really is the perfect opportunity, the perfect cover for them to be able to pull something major and have the narrative kind of steered in the direction that they want it to go. And I think if you're the cabal, if you're the deep state and the walls, you know, are really closing in on you at this point, what options do you really have? Other than to shift the narrative away from the Great Awakening and all the focus on the crimes of the elite and all of the disclosure and all the things that are trickling out, the only way that they can really get out of that jam is to create an event or to somehow manipulate an event and steer the narrative so far in the opposite direction that the only thing people are worried about and thinking about isn't justice and disclosure and all the things that, you know, we're focusing on now, but survival.
Boom.
To put people into survival mode. And what is that really? That's triggering the natural ingrained instincts that we have as human beings. It's to trigger our fear that something could take us out, and we go into survival mode, and instinct takes over, and they can very easily, I think, manipulate people. And, you know, you also talked about, you know, I've kind of mentioned the idea of, you know, religion, and you touched upon this as well, that and I agree with you. It's not that religious people are gullible by any stretch of the imagination, but they're deeply rooted to their beliefs, as I am. But I think there's also that possibility that you can manipulate those beliefs as well. And you can get folks to, you know, to buy in under these circumstances where, especially when, you know, their fear is triggered, they're in survival mode, and all of a sudden, you know, they see, who knows what they see in the sky, Project Bluebeam, you know, some sort of projection of Jesus or something along those lines. This has been discussed for a very long time. As a matter of fact, you and I have had discussions about Project Bluebeam before, and we talked about Wernher von Braun saying that this was going to be the last card that they were going to play. That and if I recall, this may have been our last discussion. I think it was in the in 2024. He said that was going to happen. Is that correct? Am I remembering that right?
Well, Wernher von Braun just said that this would be the last card they'll play before they initiate in the full world government New World Order agenda.
Okay.
Said it to his assistant Carol Rosen, who I saw at a conference many years ago back in the 1990s. Her story has never changed about what Wernher von Braun told her. But it was a CIA operative who gave an interview many years after his career with the CIA. He gave this interview. I'm trying to remember his name, but he had that really gravelly voice. And he's at the end, he's, and I'm sitting in a park and I'm looking at the kids out there and I think they have no idea what's coming to them. And he said, this is back in the late 1980s, that the year would be 2024, that they would initiate Project Bluebeam. So wow. There's a lot of data points suggesting that they're just waiting for the right opportunity. And what if the only opportunity is to see a ship passing when it's dark out, and everybody's looking to the sky, everybody's got their camera out and filming it, and it becomes the biggest news story after the eclipse. And then you got the Devil's Comet, which is entering our atmosphere during the eclipse. With a name like the Devil's Comet, that's very triggering too to a lot of people.
Oh,
But
yeah.
let's just say, for a purely scientific mind, that the sun will be at its solar maximum, and that the story could be that the grid got massively affected by a CME. And not to imply that the government has our best interests at heart, but if the grid goes down, there would be absolute civil unrest.
Yep.
So, like you said, Patriot, they're just looking for a way to deflect all the exposure that the deep state has gotten and their imminent collapse, because they're ready to play a desperate move. Because we know what happens when a dangerous animal gets cornered, they become their most ferocious and dangerous. So you know that the deep state and cabal, they still are going to play this one out. They're going to play every last hand they can. And what better opportunity when so many people are looking to the sky and have prejudged notions, perhaps biblical themed notions about what might happen during this eclipse.
I agree. Absolutely. And it's very interesting to me though that the National Guard, as you pointed out, has been very quietly deployed. And we also know that Trump activated 1 million National Guard. And certainly there's, if you believe, as I do, that Trump is actually the commander in chief, then that kind of raises some interesting possibilities as well. And, because where I was kind of going with that is, yes, I'm in full agreement with you that we're dealing with a cornered animal at this point. And I mean, there's still details coming out about, what happened, but, we just saw Russia, that major attack, that happened at the theater. So, and that's just, one example, I think, of the deep state, the desperation as the walls are closing in. But I guess where I was going with this whole kind of concept here is, what's the white hat response going to be? Or is this kind of in some ways being engineered? By perhaps some benevolent forces who, or probably, I mean, my guess would be it's probably both. And I've been saying for a long time that, it's kind of like I use the term parallel construction. Like the deep state has their plan, and in order for the white hats to fight this war effectively the way they needed to, the way the decision was made back after the Kennedy assassination, that it had to be a covert war. A silent war, so to speak, and in order for them to avoid detection, they had to develop their own kind of parallel strategy. So it seems to me like both of that could be going on here. Like it seems maybe on the surface, as we're talking about it, that it's all the deep state, setting up all of these cards that they're getting ready to play. But the flip side of the coin is it all the deep state? And is the white hat are the white hats involved here to a certain degree? When I hear National Guard deployment. That doesn't really make me think about or associate with the nefarious or dark elements of our military. I'm not sure, what your thoughts are on that. Do you have any suspicion here that perhaps there's some sort of white hat activity going along right alongside this?
Well, I think the white hat activity is what we're doing right here now, Patriot, is just telling people what the scenarios might be. Whether they'll be out there in force, I don't know. Hope so. Could it be an opportunity to make some mass arrests? Maybe that too. It's all so interesting because it's such a wait and see.
Yeah, right. It's
Plus you have
speculative. Yeah.
the eclipse declares the glory of God. Here's one more for you. Psalm 19 tells us, quote, "The heavens declare the glory of God." That kind of says it right there. On April 8th, 2024, millions of Americans will have an incredible opportunity to see. This is from a Christian news article.
Did you say Psalm 17? Is that the number?
19.
Oh, 19. Okay. All right.
The heavens
I got
declare
a
the
little
glory of
excited there.
God. Do you see it? If you got a Bible handy, maybe there's more to it that
I don't have it right next to me. It's over on my bookshelf over there, but okay.
So, but this article goes on to say on April 8th, 2024, millions of Americans will have an incredible opportunity to see his heavenly glory in a way most of us never have through a total solar eclipse. On a path running from Texas to Maine, observers on the ground will see the moon slip in front of the sun, blocking out all its light and dropping the daytime temperature drastically, about 10 to 15 degrees Fahrenheit, and very suddenly. That's the other weird thing about the eclipse, is it goes not only totally dark, where you can see the celestial bodies above you like it's at night, and all the animals go quiet. That's another weird thing too. Dogs stop barking, birds stop chirping. Everybody just goes in total awe of what's going on, and the temperature drops. So,
Sounds a lot like a pause.
yeah, it's a pause. So not only is everybody going to be in total awe of this natural phenomenon, but we're at that time, Patriot, where I think the cabal needs some way to try to get out of this. So I hope the White Hats have some kind of backup plan. They got to know all this that we're talking about, and maybe can use this as an opportunity to perhaps make Project Bluebeam just fizzle out in a real spectacular way that we all know it. But look, you mentioned the holograms at the beginning of this year in the shopping mall, and then also Michael Jackson going on tour. Tupac Shakur both passed away, but going on tour as holograms. Holograms are very realistic and could very easily aid some kind of visual trickery that most people would believe. And I talk about this in my book, Beyond Esoteric, the different scenarios in Project Bluebeam. Another scenario that they could also employ is this voice-to-skull technology. That technology is there, and it actually works through the 5G, where you would hear voices in your head. So let's say they did throw up a projection of Jesus in Christian countries and Muhammad in Muslim countries. Not particularly now over there because they're not having the eclipse, but here in this country, and then see the lips moving and the holographic projection, and then you're hearing the voice in your head. That would be very realistic. I would say almost everybody would believe that to some degree because I heard it. I could hear it speaking to me.
Yeah, well, that's interesting too, because that was my other question. How many people are actually going to buy in to whatever? I mean, if it is the deep state here that's pulling all these strings and they're hoping to get everyone, like we said, to go into survival mode or, just completely shift and alter. I mean, I think really the bottom line is it's about shifting the consciousness away in a different direction. This is a war over consciousness. And when you and I have discussed in the past that humanity has taken major, major strides in the right direction, right? And so, it would certainly, so if it's the deep state that are actually, pulling all these strings, that's one thing. But, I always have to question, are we being put through, like looking at it from another lens? And again, we're all, trying to figure out the truth here. And much of this is speculative because there's no way to prove either way at this point. But is it possible that we're being put through a simulation of what the cabal had intended for us? And that actually there are safeguards in place that, yes, some sort of major events are in store, but rather than it being the cabal that's really in control, that perhaps it could be the White Hats who are in control that are putting humanity through this kind of simulation scenario. I mean, that's also a possibility. But again, all speculative, and we have to wait and see what happens. But certainly, the voice-to-skull technology. Very, very few people know about this. I think consciousness has risen to a significant degree. So, like when we see these images, let's just say outside of the Miami shopping mall, people see that online, and I think a lot of folks are probably most people at this point are going, "Oh, that's fake. That looks completely ridiculous. It looks totally fake." And so people aren't taking the bait, I guess is my point, the deep state bait. But during a scenario like this, where massive holograms appeared in the sky, and then there was the voice-to-skull technology and so forth, that certainly could cause, I mean, a lot of, let's just say, chaos in the
Oh yeah.
process. All right. So, did you want to jump in there or no?
Just yeah, I
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
agree.
So,
Because
I
what
don't
we
know.
might be seeing is yeah, the attempt to create chaos. and then throw in an EMP attack. It's very much a human-made thing, but blame it on the eclipse. Throw the HAARP machine on the new Madrid fault line, create a big earthquake in the Midwest, blame it on the eclipse.
Right.
So just like the Dew attacks. These are wildfires out of control. It's an act of God. You get out of your insurance policies that way, by the way, too.
Yeah.
But they're Dew attacks, right? They're man-made, right? We know the cabal will not stop at anything. We're just collateral damage to them. If people die, well, too bad. Their agenda means more than any of our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's a fascinating time that we're in right now, because, you know, there's two different sides to the story here. I mean, it certainly appears as if, you know, as we're discussing this, that, you know, it's a, like we said, it's a perfect opportunity, perfect cover for the deep state to really make their final moves. But then again, you know, this entire time, really going back to 2017, you know, it's just kind of the connection we made between the, you know, with the eclipse. And the, you know, the beginning of Trump's presidency, and really you could say arguably this whole Q movement, this truth, I mean, the truth movement's been around before, long before then, but, you know, this sort of most recent iteration of this journey that we're all on started in 2017. And that in this entire time we've been learning, our consciousness has been expanding, and we've been, I would argue, we've been very effectively moving in the right direction toward fifth dimensional consciousness. And so that would lead me to believe that there's actually a lot of very benevolent forces behind the scenes. It's not just nefarious forces. There's a dark element, no doubt about it. But I think that there is also a lot of evidence to suggest that that's not the only thing that's going on here, and that there is also another plan that is running right alongside that. And again, I think the fact that we've seen so many of these coincidences along the way, I think they're just too many to ignore. And I certainly believe that my personal view is that I do think that the White Hats are in control. I mean, I'm not sure if, you know, I think you probably would maybe beg to differ with me on that to a degree. Now, I don't mean completely in control. I think that there is an ongoing war. But in terms of the narrative, I think that the White Hats would like us to believe that they're in a lot less control than they actually are, for tactical reasons. Mm. And they keep giving us hints over and over and over again. I mean, just some of the gematria that, you know, that we just discussed, the fact that it's the National Guard that's been deployed, and, you know, all of these things, it just seems to me like we're being sent some comms to say, all right, you know, we're getting ready for a major event. Who knows if it's actually going to be in early April. I mean, I certainly hope so, because, I mean, you know, that would mean we're getting closer to the, you know, whatever the ultimate resolution is here, the end of this this insanity. But I don't know. I just, you know, my gut continually tells me that, you know, they're drumming up a lot of this stuff is being drummed up narrative wise. But it seems like there's a definite White Hat connection here to all of these events that seems unavoidable to me. Do you agree, disagree? What are your thoughts on that? Do you see this primarily? Because I guess my question is if I'm wrong and the White Hats aren't really prepared to counter this, or aren't really actually constructing their own reversal event parallel to this New World Order agenda, then we're in some serious trouble. And I've repeatedly said that, you know, if the deep state, if the enemy really was in full control, the world would be a very, very different place right now. I think probably that you and I most likely wouldn't even be talking. So that, to me, evidences a lot of questions about who's really in control behind the scenes. So I guess I'll just kind of throw that out there, give us some thoughts, and then we can move on to I wanted to talk to you about the monoliths and the giants as well. So, you know, any final thoughts on the eclipse, the White Hat connection?
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. And the biggest threat to the cabal is that we're waking up, that we are starting to see through their plan, that their false flags don't work anymore, that we can just read through it within a couple days. Look at how quickly we understood the Maui fires were not what we were told they were. Whereas 9/11 took me a couple years to figure that one out. But nowadays it's like, oh, we see through it right away.
Yep.
One of the Rockefellers said early on in the age of the internet, we should never have let the internet become free. We shouldn't have let the people have it, because they're going to use it as a tool to wake up, which is another word of saying they're going to see through our agenda. And I'm wondering, Patriot, if I could share the screen for
Oh,
one slide
sure.
here. I've got a really important final
Yeah, sure.
slide here to show. And that is, if it's not possible, I can read it.
No, I
But
think you should have a screen share now. I think I just gave it to you.
okay. So let's see if I share it and go to my screen. Let's see, is that popping up?
Yeah.
Okay. So check this out. This is from my colleague Dan Willis, and he just did an interview with Michael Sala and used a sign. And in that Facebook post that I was reading from earlier, I mentioned fire sign. Okay, if you read on the bottom here, the document analyzes a number of salvage scenarios for Hillary Clinton and recommends one called fire sign, which is a false flag extraterrestrial invasion using advanced holographic technology to save her campaign. So just like 9/11 was pre-planned and known since the 1970s, so too is fire sign or Operation Bluebeam. But Bluebeam is more of an umbrella. Bluebeam is many different facets where fire sign is specifically the fake alien invasion. So this is from Anonymous that came out in 2016 from the Bennison Strategy Group documenting, and they're recommending using the false flag alien invasion. You can see on the right there, hard Trump support. What events could stop you from voting? So they want to prevent the vote. Doesn't that sound similar to this year? A shooting war in your neighborhood. Yeah, 8% wouldn't go vote that day. An external invading force. Huh, where's that coming from? South of the border? And look at this. The biggest one that would prevent you from voting, Patriot, an attack from extraterrestrials. 38% wouldn't go to the polls that day. And then look at the very next one. A biblical event. So this could be a two for one here.
Yeah.
And so this was recommended if Hillary thought she was going to lose, and they never thought she'd lose, remember, that they could throw some of this out there. Well, gosh, isn't that similar to maybe what the Biden show is facing now, too? A
Absolutely.
perfect
Absolutely.
distraction from all
Yeah.
that.
And it really lines up with kind of what I was just saying too about the simulation aspect. Like if this came out back when in 2016, and they were thinking about playing this card, is it possible that they're going to put us through this simulation of this whole false flag alien invasion? We'll have to see. But yeah, you're absolutely right. They could stack those percentages pretty well. An alien invasion slash, ex what was it? A border or an external army or something along those lines. I mean, that I think you could probably say that if we were under some sort of an alien attack, that would be perceived as an invasion as well. So I'm guessing most people probably wouldn't be thinking about voting. And that's it. It's interesting too, because here we are in an election year yet again, and it's a pretty interesting question as to whether or not we're going to get the election. And there's a lot of information out there. Do you have any gut feeling on that as to whether or not we're going to see the election as scheduled on November 5th, rather? Remember. Or do you think we're going to see some sort of, I mean, I guess we've kind of been talking about that with the eclipse, but I mean, we're still months away. And certainly anything can happen, but I think and I've been saying, and I'll just kind of frame the question this way, that in terms of the whole Q operation and basically this the expectation ultimately that we were going to see the 2020 somehow get rectified and fraud vitiates everything and all that stuff. I mean, to me it seems like the window is closing very rapidly, because if we do get to the election and we do have business as usual, at least optically, I mean, nothing has fundamentally changed in terms of public perception, then I think the history book kind of closes on 2020 at that point. I mean, if we elect another president, and even if it is Donald Trump who gets elected, where's the justice going to come from? I mean, is it where's the disclosure going to come from? If everything just kind of
Right.
continues on a normal trajectory, is my point. And a lot of folks out there are now starting to say, yeah, we're going to have the election. It's going to go forward. No EBS, no nothing. To me, it seems like, even if Trump were to win in 2024, that doesn't really move the needle in terms of what really needs to be accomplished, on a financial level, disclosure in terms of all of these indictments, all of these sealed indictments, these mass arrests, justice. I mean, I could go on and on and on. It doesn't seem to me like there's any possibility that we're ever going to have this major shift in consciousness and really and totally redirect the path of humanity unless we have a major event. And that's kind of what I've been saying, is that this is the year where it has to happen. I mean, if we go into 2025 and we don't see that, I don't really think the Q operation, any sort of belief in that. I think the glue kind of just dissolves at that point. And then the conversation becomes a very different one. Doesn't mean we all just kind of give up and go home and, forget about the Great Awakening, but it definitely radically changes the way that a lot of folks have been approaching it up until this point. So what are your thoughts on that aspect of things? Because, again, we're months away from the election. Do you anticipate, because the deep state, it would seem, they don't want to have an election.
Yep. 7 months out from the election. And let's just go over these scenarios that hardcore Trump voters would not go to the poll if there was a shooting war in the neighborhood. Oh, gosh, if they hit us with an EMP attack and people were fighting for survival goods. No, they wouldn't vote. External invading force. We're already seeing that happening. TACBacks, terrestrials might be coming on April 8th, as well as that biblical event. So just about every one of these scenarios is being covered. So I'd say, yeah, there's going to be an election, but if people don't come out to vote or it's rigged again, then we know what the outcome is going to be right then and there. So you're right, Patriot. It's the time for the white hats to make the move to counter what might be coming down the pike, not just over the period of the eclipse, but in the coming months leading up to the election, because they know Trump's back in with full power of the presidency of the corporation, right? We all know that he's got the power of the republic still to totally bankrupt the corporation, to take us out of it. And I don't think Nisar Jassara will happen either until someone who should take credit gets credit and does it. They won't happen during the Biden show.
Totally agree. Totally.
Yeah, because why would you want to give him credit for the greatest financial restructuring? But look, that's what Trump does for a living. He restructures companies. He's great at it. And if there was a way to get out of this national debt, he'd be the one to do it. So the cabal knows that, and they can't let this go at any cost. And so they're going to try to throw everything at him. We can only just hope that the white hat has resistance. And if not, I'm with you, Patriot. Then, yeah, Q just kind of fizzles out and all the predictions of resistance are futile, because we're going to go down a path. And then if they introduce CBDC, which supposedly May 1st is the date for that, and that's already been pre-designed and signed into law by Biden as well, that we're also going to lose our cash and move into a central bank programmable digital currency. So we saw you on Patriot Underground. Your social credit score got knocked. Now you can't travel to go to your next ski trip because your carbon credit scores are going against your social credit score.
I mean, so you're talking about
this
now,
world.
Right?
I don't. So
no, absolutely. None of us do. And that's really that's kind of the thing. I think is we've all been, we've all had our faith, I think, some to varying degrees, but I've had a great amount of faith since, I started to learn about the Q drops and this historic time that we're living through. And my belief is, and I got to always just kind of make sure folks understand that I'm not suggesting that my faith is waning in the Q operation. What I am suggesting is, though, is that at a certain point, moves have to be made.
Yeah.
In order for people to continue to have faith that we're moving in that right direction, because at the same time, as we see, Optically, and I think it's my perspective is that all of these really awful things that are happening all around us, yeah, some of them are really happening, but a lot of them are not at all what we seem, not at all what they seem, and our perceptions are being manipulated. I think that both sides are doing that to a certain degree, but I mean, I've always believed and had faith there's a lot more going on beneath the surface than we're led to believe, and that it's all being done so that when the appropriate time comes, the white hats can effectively counter whatever it is that we're going to be put through. But it has to be something that we have to be realistic about where we're at in terms of human consciousness. Like I said, we've taken massive strides in the right direction, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's just a blank check to continue to to kind of lead people along and into believing that there's going to be military intervention if we don't actually see it prior to the next election, because I just don't really, based upon what I see, the interactions that I have with my audience and just my overall perception of the Patriot community, people aren't going to accept it. We've been at this for a while, and I'm not complaining. I'm not, having a whiny fest over here, but I'm just being realistic, is that, this really is a year where the stakes are just so high on multiple different levels. I mean, we've said that all along, but this truly is, in my view, a crossroads type of a year where major moves have to be made. So let's put a pin in that. We'll see what happens. But I did want to kind of pivot here a little bit and ask you about I think you took a recent trip, and you had suggested to me that there was some information that you had maybe wanted to share about monoliths and giants and even the war in Laos as well. So what do you got for us on that?
Well, in January, I went to the country of Laos for a travel forum. I did a bunch of travel books prior to my esoteric series of books. And so I still go on these press junkets now and then. And this particular time to the Southeast Asian of Laos, and I was very fascinated with a location there called the Plain of Jars. So I booked my ticket a couple weeks before the conference and went out there on a rickety old night bus and got there in the morning, and just like my old days Patriot, I threw on my backpack and went out and checked out the Plain of Jars. And there are these 1,325 intact megalithic jars that are still surrounding this town called Phone Savan up in northeastern Laos. Just really fascinating to see. Many of them are 2 meters tall, partially submerged in the ground, but and I'm a tall guy, I could put my arm right on it that big, and some of them were even higher, 3 meters tall. So quite a mystery what these jars were all about. You'd think, okay, storing food or fermenting rice wine and all possibilities and probably a usage for them. They did find that there were bodies buried around them in very neat little packaged urns with just the bones. So not laying out a body, but placed around the jars. That's kind of interesting. What could that mean? Well, it was a necropolis. It's a big burial ground around the Plain of Jars. And it's not just one location, but it's all, excuse me, around the hillsides and mountaintops around this small little town in Laos. But the main site is called Site One, and it's a World Heritage UNESCO designated site. So it's all protected now. And there have been archaeologists, the first in the 1930s when it was a French colony. A French archaeologist by the name of Colony was the first to propose that the jars were used as secondary burials. So that is, they would put the body in there and it would decompose to the point of bones, and then they would be reburied. And that is very evident. Other archaeologists in the 1990s confirmed that process. But here's the weird thing about it. In the museum itself, which is sponsored by UNESCO as a World Heritage Site, it says the legend is that these plane of jars were created by giants. Says it in the museum. And they were used as drinking cups. So this is what I see around the world, Patriot. Whenever I go to a megalithic site, there are legends of giants, sometimes giant bones being buried there. I didn't find any here in Laos, but in Sacsayhuaman, giant bones. Sacred Valley of Peru, megalithic sites, giant bones, legends of giants building the megalithic structures all around the world. So this is why it's an esoteric subject, is because there's this version of history that has just been edited out, including in this country. We call it Smithsonian Gate, where a lot of the mound sites throughout the Midwest, where I grew up, and all the way out here in the West, including where my ranch is in Nevada, giant bones being found. They even make it into the local newspaper. And then the Smithsonian comes and they're just flash their badge. All right, we're taking over here, confiscate all the bones and all the artifacts. And I do a profile of a dig in Delavan, Wisconsin, by the archaeologists of Beloit College, doing a dig, and it made it a local paper. Then it went into the New York Times. And then right then the Smithsonian came out. So we're taking over. Hey, wait, man, we want to find out what happened. Oh, yeah, we'll tell you. Call them a couple months later. We don't know what you're talking about, sir. So the legend is they're just dumping stuff in the ocean. They just don't want to talk about it. Other countries like Peru, they'll be open about it. They even have a museum in Paracas, Peru, where these elongated skulls are on display.
Yeah.
Look, they're not human. They're human-like, but they got 30% larger cranial capacity. So anytime you have the megalithic sites, legend of giants, sometimes giant bones, this is the untold history of our life. Now, in the term of plane of jars, and you mentioned the secret war in Laos, that was during what we know as the Vietnam War. In Southeast Asia, they call it the Second Indochina War. It started with the War of Independence from the French, who controlled Cambodia, Laos, and Vietnam in the 1950s. And the French basically had their ass handed to them and pulled out because this resistance, these rebels were being supported by communist China. Then the U.S. gets involved and Westmoreland says it's going to be the domino effect and all these Southeast Asian countries are going to fall to communism and it'll go all the way down through Southeast Asia to Australia. So we got to draw the line here in South Vietnam.
That's what they always say.
That's what they
always
say.
It's always some form of that. They're saying the same thing about Putin and Ukraine.
Exactly. We got to draw the line somewhere. Where are we going to fight them? But they're proxy wars is what it is. And because this high plain in Laos was always this major trade route, and the wealthy families who may have commissioned the building of these jars to do the secondary burial all the way back in the Iron Age. So some of these jars date back to 500 BC during the period when iron was discovered and used as a tool to carve it out. And you could see the chisel marks in them. How they were made in these fashion, sometimes with a lip and sometimes with a cap, but the caps usually were used more in the funerary process. But during the first Indochina War, there was hand-to-hand combat at the Plain of Jars, and there are still military trenches that were dug where they were fighting the other forces, the rebel forces versus the French-backed colonial power forces, including the kings. So they would always support the royal families. And after the French pulled out, it looked like the communists were going to win again. So then the U.S. gets involved. But we never declared war on Laos or Cambodia, but we bombed the crap out of them. And that's what the secret war in Laos was. The Ho Chi Minh Trail extended mostly through Laos. And Laos is now the most bombed nation per capita in the world. And it's just horrendous how much destruction was done. including the Plaina jars. You see these big pockmark bowl-like bomb craters that are still there. And it could be that they wanted to also get rid of the jars, that they had these connotations with giants and these mysteries, or just to dehumanize the Laotian people who venerated the site. Blow up the jars.
But they're still intact, right?
Oh, yeah. And so
that's amazing. That's incredible.
The Plaina jars was one of these major bombing campaign areas. And still to this day, and this is really heartbreaking, Patriot, what I found out there, that even to this day, every 2 weeks, a Laotian farmer or little kid finds one of these unexploded ordnances and loses a limb or goes blind or even killed. It's still a problem there. Laos is the most bombed nation in the world. More bombs were dropped in Laos during the secret war than during the entirety of World War II. Wow. So we just did this incredible disservice to the people. They're still paying the price for it and cleaning it up. The Americans aren't there cleaning it up. It's other NGOs from European countries that are doing the work. But a very eye-opening scene to go out to this area, the Plaina Jars, and part of the Ho Chi Minh Trail that got so heavily bombed, carpet bombed, day after day after day. And you know what? They could never shut down the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Maybe for a day or two or three, but they would rebuild it, and the supplies kept coming in. And that is what largely defeated the U.S. in the Vietnam War, was that supply chain that continued to supply the Viet Cong resistance group in that country. And so then the end result was, after the U.S. left and we lost that war, it was just a big vacuum in the region. And you have Pol Pot go into Cambodia, one of the worst genocidal leaders that killed 1 in 3 Cambodians. And then the resistance group, the rebels in Laos, overtook that country and all the royal families. It was like the French Revolution. Pitchforks to them. Now all those the royal households are museums. There are no royal families left in Southeast Asia because they were on the losing side. And it's still the Lao PDR, the People's Democratic Republic. But I tell you, it's not that bad of a version of communism. When I was in Vientiane, the capital, it's a very Buddhist country. And my travel writer friend, Bruce Northam, I was there with, he goes, you notice nobody honks their horn. We're in the major capital of a city. Nobody honks their horn. Why? Because they consider it impolite. I wish they would do that here in America. But you don't see any homeless. You don't see any vandalism. There's no trash on the ground. It's like,
this is in Laos, you're talking?
Doing something right.
In Laos?
Yeah.
And isn't it incredible that that's their attitude after being the most bombed country in the world, and yet they still have basic compassion and basic respect? I think that's really the big one. You know, that's something I think we've definitely lost here in the West, for sure. But I also think that's something that's been sort of by design. But yeah, that's fascinating information. You know, it's interesting because you mentioned the royals. And I think that was one other subject I just wanted to, you know, kind of touch upon during our discussion today, because certainly there's been a lot of talk about the royal family in the UK. Obviously, there's this whole situation with Kate Middleton, which, you know, kind of just gets weirder by the day. But I think really the overall kind of framework of this segment of our discussion, I think, has to do with the stripping of the royals of power. And really, I think the what I believe has already been happening or behind the scenes now for many years is now being kind of rolled out publicly. But the world is fundamentally changing. And it's interesting because even the mainstream media, even the BBC, are now pointing out that, you know, that Kate is using body doubles and William's using body doubles, not the real person. I'm sure you probably saw by now the video that was released yesterday of Kate Middleton without the mole. I mean, it's like, and I posted it on my Telegram, and like everyone in unison was all saying, oh, central casting's getting pretty lazy. So what's your thought on this drama? I mean, there's so much speculation about what's actually going on, whether or not Kate Middleton is dead, whether, I mean, again, we don't know the answers. We're kind of speculating, but I'm curious if you've heard anything. I know you have some sources, who give you some interesting information. So, what's your take on that? And, I guess the overall question really is, the movement away from this idea of royalty amongst humanity. I think that's something we're really not going to see when we get to the other side of this war. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, it's the controllers losing control, basically. But yeah, we all have a version of palace intrigue, what's going behind the walls of the pa Buckingham Palace. And oh, it's this, and then the weird shapes of their hands. They're using CGI for these pictures and that video of her walking with William. It's not her. You can see in the smile, it's a different person. So they're using body doubles. Yeah, central casting's getting pretty lazy, or their CG group isn't doing a good job. It could very well be she passed and they're just trying to figure out a way to tell the world. And now, of course, yesterday the big story was that she has cancer, and so here's the cover story that she could be passing away, as well as King Charles has cancer too. So this group, we know that they need to go. It's, to me, okay, it's kind of gossip to talk about someone else's life, but they've been in control and they own so much, and they've had a hand in so many different things in this country, all the way dating back, of course, to the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812. The royal family doesn't want to lose their controlling interest also in the Federal Reserve system, what's going on in this country. But to me, it's good riddance, not to wish poorly on anybody, but their power structure, I do believe, has to go. And just lastly, it's a good time for all of us to raise our vibration on this planet. During this very pivotal time in history, during this eclipse, but let's focus on love and truth and knowing that these controllers have lost control. There's really nothing to fear but fear itself. So don't succumb to any kind of fear or anger that might come up in you. Just rise above the programming, and all this won't affect you, no matter what it can do to those who are fearful. And perhaps seeing Jesus in the sky would give people hope. I don't like trickery of any kind, but no matter what, if you have peace in your heart of each one of us, that's all we got to do to choose it. And I think we're going to get through the next couple months and years, and even this eclipse, in a much better place. If you just try to raise your vibration in all this. I know it sounds like a kind of new agey term, but it certainly works for me, and I still have a smile on my face every day, and I'm glad to be alive and
Well,
watch it happen.
I mean, people can say new agey if they want to, but I mean, the reality of the matter is that we're learning more and more about frequency and vibration and
That's
Tesla and
right.
all of these things that have been hidden from us for, and it's also, it goes right alongside the non-terrestrial issues, all of these different esoteric subjects. That's really what this Great Awakening is all about. And in the end, I agree with you. I think we get through this. And, we have there's so many different narratives, there's so many different interpretations about what's actually happening. But virtually everybody that I talk to, we may have differences of opinion on certain issues, but we all are fundamentally in agreement that ultimately we are going to get through this, and that ultimately there are forces of good that are working behind the scenes. But it's not just, and this is an important point. I mean, we're part of this as well. And you alluded to this earlier, when I asked you about the white hat response, and you were like, well, yeah, that's basically what we're doing right now, by having this conversation, putting this information out there. Spreading the truth. We're all playing a role. And it's very important, I think, for folks to understand that, whether or not you agree with my perspective or Brad's perspective or Carrie Cassidy's perspective or somebody else's perspective on it. I think we're all pretty well aligned that at the end of the day, that this is, and you may not define it the same way I would, but as God's plan, that ultimately humanity has a future that is far beyond where the cabal wanted to herd us and to lead us. And it's pretty hard to deny that we're watching, we are bearing witness to the old guard being dismantled. I mean, at the same time as there are all of these, you know, things to be talking about, concerned about that we've discussed tonight, we also are seeing massive resignations. We're seeing massive changes in the way that our society is being run. The individuals who have been at the top of this power structure are being systematically removed at a time when supposedly the deep state's in control. Supposedly Biden's in control. You know, supposedly it's a conspiracy theory that, you know, that these people have been taken out behind the scenes. And it's a conspiracy theory that, you know, we're dealing with body doubles and clones and actors and things along those lines. But guess what? The longer time goes by, the more people are starting to realize it. And like I said, it's seeping now into the mainstream media. I mean, they put this picture of this individual playing Kate Middleton that didn't even remotely look like her. I mean, the individual in the video that they put out last night, I guess you could say there's definitely some, you know, it's a better double or actor or whatever it is, but there's no mole there. It's very clear it's not the person. But in the I think it was, I forget which paper it was, but it was one of the major mainstream papers in the UK, and they printed this picture of this individual. It doesn't even look anything like Kate Middleton. And you've got all of these mainstream reporters pointing this out now. So all of these quote unquote conspiracies seem to be coming true. And again, what's very telling to me is that all of this is happening. The guard is falling at a time when they're supposedly in control. Yeah. And if that doesn't clue you in that there's something going on behind the scenes, and there's a million different offshoot conversations that we could have and that I routinely have with my audience. But I think that really is the core of it all. So I do believe we're going to get through this. Well, Brad, this is a great conversation. It always is. But I was just absolutely amazed by some of the stuff you laid out about the eclipse. I'm going to have to go back and you know, review some of this. Again, I had heard a lot of it, but the way that you broke it all down was fantastic. So certainly we'll have to get together. We won't let months go by next time. I want to hear, I think, probably your perspective after we get through this whole eclipse. And, you know, we'll see what happens, obviously, but then we'll have a another conversation about it and kind of compare notes. So anything, any final thoughts you want to leave us with today? And we'll kind of wrap this up, and I'll bid you farewell to the next time.
Yeah, it was great talk. Always a pleasure with you, Patriot. Really enjoyed it. Well, just if people want to check out my conference schedule, you can go to bradolson.com. Love to see you there. I bring books to everyone, so I can sign copies for people. Also, if you're interested in my books or the other authors I publish through cccpublishing.com, you can go there, and if it's one of my books and you order off the website, I can do signed copies for people as they go through my office. But yeah, always a pleasure to speak with you. A great conversation as per usual, and looking forward to the next one, including let's just see what's going to happen here on April 8th.
Absolutely. My one last question for you. When is your Antarctica book going to be published? Do we know yet?
That's 2025 at the soonest. Okay. But right. I'm working on it every day and getting a lot of great new information. And I'm doing another season two with Billy Carson's Forbidden Knowledge, Secrets of Antarctica.
Awesome.
And I'll be working with Caroline Corey's production company on season two. So I've got some new episodes that I'm starting to work on. And
amazing.
A lot on my plate, Patriot. Yeah, but that's always amazing. Take the time to have a talk with you, man. It's always great.
Well, it's an honor to have you, Brad. I mean, you're a great guy, a good friend, and I look forward to our next conversation. And I'll bid you farewell today. And just everybody out there, thank you for listening. God bless and Godspeed. I'll be back soon with another report. But until then, Patriot out.